Hello and welcome once again to another episode in Season 5 of Naturally Educated. My name is Abdurrahman Al-Zaabi and I am here with my co-host, Tim Elliott. I hope all is well, Tim.
Not too bad. Thanks, Abdurrahman. Good to see you. Good to be back in the studio with you again. Everything okay?
All is well. Thanks, Tim. You know, before we start, I just want to elaborate on something, get it off my chest.
Okay.
You know, something about, related to the topic of today, but kids these days, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're, despite the stereotype, they're a touch wiser and a touch more knowledgeable.
You are 100, I was going to say 1,000%, but that doesn't exist, but you are 100% right. Sometimes I talk to my kids. My daughter's 18. I was talking to her the other day, and she comes out with a big, like, long, deep discussion, father-daughter. She comes out with stuff, and I think, when did you turn into Confucius? You know?
Yeah. Similarly, I was talking to my sister who is much younger.
Right.
And I think, you know what? When I was her age, when I was 16, 17, you could not have taken so much information from me. But yeah, I'm proud of them. And it just shows that, I guess, more information has an upside, I guess, more access to information.
It's really interesting that I think you're absolutely right. The internet's there, so there's no excuse to kind of not know something, I suppose. Mm-hmm. I think there's maybe less kind of tribal teenage behavior, if that's even possible. You know, you have to like one type of music or one type of fashion or one type of drink or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit less of that. But I think people are a bit more, I don't know if more rounded is the word for this kind of young generation, but I know what you mean.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's jump in to today's topic. So as you know, today we're discussing next generation ecosystem restoration. So what does that mean? That means young people taking action when it comes to living more sustainably, when it comes to climate action, reducing greenhouse emissions, and restoring habitats and ecosystems, and of course, much more.
We've also got exactly the right person to talk to as well, Abdurrahman.
Yes, and she's from the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment, no less.
Mm-hmm.
So more on our guest in a moment, Tim. First of all, though, can I take you back to the 12th World Environment Education Congress, WIC, that took place here in Abu Dhabi? There we are in the podcast booth for 4 days. We had some great chats with some great people. And those conversations are all online, as you know, Season 4 of Naturally Educated.
Mm-hmm. Fun. It was fun. It was hard work. It was hectic at times, but it was a lot of fun.
Of course it was. But also, great cookies in the morning.
You would know.
Of course. They have a consistent place in my dreams, these cookies. But besides that, honestly, looking back, there's something that stands out for me specifically. I learned a lot from everyone we talked to. And, you know, we spoke to some really knowledgeable people right at the top of their game. But I think that perhaps I learned the most from the young people. As I mentioned, you know, they have so much more to say and they're so well informed. And if you remember, we were stationed right next to the Youth Congress that ran alongside the main event, as you know. And so many of these young folks were interested in the podcast booth that we were trying to kind of document the event. So we spoke to countless young people who seemed so clued up about environmental affairs and who seemed to really care about the direction of our planet.
You're right. And there were loads of school trips. There were loads of young people there. We spoke to loads of people. We even ended up having to do like an extra season of podcasts, like a youth season as well. I do think you're right. We talked to academics, we talked to experts, we talked to the people hosting the sessions and people that were speaking at the event, which was kind of a learning experience, I think, certainly for me. And I think, you know, you would back that up as well. But there's something about the clarity, and I kind of think the simplicity of a younger person's approach to questions about climate change or, you know, questions about environmental awareness.
It wasn't even that there were questions, let's say. It was more like they were looking for and expecting answers.
It was. That's right. I've mentioned this before on this podcast, but do you remember there was a morning you headed out. I think you were going to listen to one of the speakers, to one of the speakers. So I was in the studio by myself. And I was just sat there. I was making notes. And then four young guys quite literally burst through the door, right? They're all like kind of 13, 14 years old, I think. If I remember right, it was Al-Ghazali School in Abu Dhabi, and they were on a school trip. So they're all keen to do a podcast. They'd seen the booth, you know, the podcast booth sign. So in they come, and I said, right, sit down and let's have a chat. So we did. So we talked, if I'm honest, mostly about football. Cristiano Ronaldo, is he better than Messi and vice versa? So that was the main sort of bones of it. But we talked about their feelings towards the environment as well. And they all had something to say, something that was kind of worth listening to as well. I asked them why they came to the event. So the joker of the pack, and this was a real character, was called Faisal. He said he'd been forced to come by his school. So yeah, we all laughed. But then I said to him, what do you think about the environment, Faisal? And his answer really hit me. So I've got the quote here. This is what he said.
I was forced.
I had a feeling you'd be different.
Yeah, actually, I'm forced.
Did the school make you come? Did they?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think about the environment? What do you think is important?
Everything. Without environment, we're nothing. We're not living. We don't have something to support us to live. No oxygen, no water, no food. That we look skinny till we die.
And it's important that we look after the environment.
Yes,
that's the key. So that's Faisal, and that's all of us laughing in the podcast booth at the World Environment Education Congress. It's a really great moment. And we've been kind of, if I'm honest, we've been messing around for 10 minutes talking football until I talked about the environment. And each one of those four young guys, and as I say, they were like 13, 14 years old, they all got it. And what I thought was, I was so impressed with that, you know? It was, and I kind of thought to myself, there is hope, you know?
Of course. And it's such a simple answer, but he's 100% right.
That's exactly what I thought. You know, it's just one of those things that kind of stands out. It's a real memory. But it leads us quite nicely to our headline, our topic for this episode, Next Generation Ecosystem Restoration, Youth Taking Action.
And our guest is the head of the Youth Council at the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment. She's also the head of the Terrestrial Biodiversity Section, Nahla Noubi. Welcome to Naturally Educated.
Thank you, Abdurrahman. I'm very happy to be here with you today.
Thank you very much for joining us. Nahla, tell us more about yourself. We would like to get to know about, you know, who's Nahla. We want to get to know more about your studies as well as your environmental / green path.
So I started studying environmental science when I was way, way back in university. However, I continued on that topic in my master's degree. So I hold a master's degree in environmental management just to back up the environmental science, because in science, you're not only coming back with knowledge, you need to back it up on how to manage it. And since I worked in the ministry, I learned how to use both skills. And including to that, after becoming the head of the Youth Council, I understand that youth also is a huge power in this dimension, in this triangle. So it's not about managing, it's not about science, it's also about your energy as a youth and how to be there to add to that topic. So I've been in the ministry since 2015. You know, it's a very long journey. And since then, I've been working a lot in the biodiversity section. I started in the marine section, then I moved to the terrestrial. I wanted to learn both ways to see the animals and species and habitat in terrestrial field and in the marine as well, to understand them, to understand how to become their voices. And after that, I scaled up to become both youth council in the youth council and in the biodiversity department. So this is a kind of a small story, a background of my career for now.
So Nahla, you're a 10-year, I was going to say veteran of the Ministry of Climate Change Environment, and you've got the experience in a number of different areas. It's good that you're here today to join us. I'd just like to take you back a little bit, because I'm interested. You're clearly somebody that wants to learn about you know, the things that you studied. But what led you to study and to take an environmental path when you were younger? Was there a moment where you thought, I want to do something here?
To be honest, Tim, this is a very, very, very good question. But honestly, environment was never my path. This is the shocking part. After 11 years of working, I'm going to tell you the truth that it was never my path. I always wanted to be working in a policy, diplomacy, something related to international. However, after taking a whole semester with that path, I recognized that it's not mine. So I had to rechange it. And I took an environment as a challenge because honestly, I just like challenges. And every other thing was there. Every other major was in the university was too easy for me. So I took an environment as a challenge, but it became a passion. It started to become a passion. I learned a lot and it just grew on me. I don't know how.
Fair enough. I mean, it is kind of a relevant topic, right? We live in a very interesting times where taking care of the environment, introducing the element of policy from your perspective to improve life for a lot of people. Building on that, your role, as you mentioned, at the ministry as the head of terrestrial biodiversity section, expand on that. What does your role imply?
So, in my workplace, so I work on developing policies, legislation, and strategies for environment, specifically for biodiversity. We engage with decision makers. So to be honest, we have to add the science part in it in a way they can understand it. So the language of transforming science to a policy to decision maker to take is us. So I think even my studies helped in that area. So I work in developing policies and using science. And at the same time, I'm using youth empowerment in this area to ensure that there is a focus on biodiversity conservation and to ensure that there is a voice for youth in the heart of sustainability decision making.
Nahla, you lead the Youth Council. You're the head of the Youth Council at the Ministry of Climate Change. So I'd like to jump into today's topic for this episode. And it's next generation ecosystem restoration, youth taking action, you know, young people taking the lead and taking us forward. But I'm interested in what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear that sentence, you know, today's episode, what's the first thing that you think?
So when it comes to youth, honestly, so youth, in my very personal opinion, they represent the future leaders, honestly. So they are the change makers. They are the people that will change everything and shift everything around the world. So engaging them and putting them and activate them to become a co-leaders, it's something that very important to ensure that there is a restoration, conservation efforts are there. So from my perspective, since the year of sustainability was announced, it kind of sparked a place in youth engagement. It created a space for them and their voices and ideas to be there. So that was the initial light for youth to start becoming interested in the environment overall.
So Nahla, there are, as you mentioned, like interest from the youth perspective, correct? And there are, as we see, a number of areas where we'd like to kind of expand. As you mentioned, youth-led movements and advocacy, youth groups, as we know, are becoming key players in advocating for policies that support ecosystem restoration. Specifically, I'm talking about the UN Decade on Ecosystem Restoration, which is 2021 till 2030. Globally, young people are standing up. Greta Thunberg's Fridays for Future comes to mind. In the UAE here, we have EAD's Murshid, which is a youth eco-ranger program, and the Green Youth Majlis. We have a program called the Sustainable Campus Youth Initiatives, Connect with Nature from EAD. What I'm saying is there's a lot of sort of initiatives that want and seem to be successfully engaging youth, right?
Yes, exactly. Honestly, all the programs that you mentioned, it's something among the whole country. So as UAE, as a seven emirates, every emirate has a program for youth. They ensure that there is a youth engagement in everything. However, in a federal level, we have a minister of youth. So it's not only about narrowing it to an entity or an emirate. It's among the whole country. It's among the whole world. And the ministry, after initiating the youth council, which was 2017, we ensured that we engaged every one of them in everything, not only decision making or policy or even youth engagement and workshop, but we engage them even in negotiation and being part of our voices and around the world. So we ensure that youth has a place in our program, every program, actually.
And that's something that the UAE, I think, Nahalia, is kind of leading in. If you can bring that together, the Ministry of Youth with the Sports Council, with the Ministry of Climate Change, with the Ministry, you know, if you can make that work and join those dots kind of thing, that brings a real policy together. Can we look at some of the things that are happening, some of the initiatives, some of the movements that are going on in the UAE? What would you like to see more of? And I'm thinking in terms of youth-led movements like, I don't know, beach cleanups, coral reef restoration, things like that. What would you like to see more happening in what areas?
Honestly, Tim, I can't add more. Youth is doing everything. Mm-hmm. They're already leading. Like, I really saw a lot of groups. They have more of a community by themselves. They have engagement internationally and nationally. Everywhere I go, there is someone. So back in 2022, I have joined the CBD convention conference that was in Montreal. So they had a place for youth engagement. And I thought, like every year and every conference, I'm going to just see European youth or American youth or youth from outside. But it was surprisingly, all our youth were there from UAE. They engaged themselves. They joined. Some of them even traveled on their own expenses just to be there, to have a voice. So honestly, our goal before was to prepare youth for this participation or this engagement. But now I think they're taking ownership. They're taking ownership of environmental challenge. They influence decision-making and they lead transformative action for more sustainable future. So honestly, I'm happy about them because they know what they want. They're really ready for it.
You know, another aspect of that, of the initiatives that youth are involved in is tech-driven solutions to address environmental challenges, right? So as you know, young people, they love their tech. Old people love it too as well, like myself and Tim. but to be more frank, it's certainly almost second nature to upcoming generations. So from your perspective, how are young people leveraging technology to advance ecosystem restoration efforts?
So technology, as we all know, as you said, it's a very essential a program or a platform. We need it. It's something important for our life nowadays. But how to use it, it's something you could put a huge question mark on it. However, honestly, our youth are already using AIs. They're using satellites. They're using new programs I'm not even aware of sometimes. I laugh on myself that I'm not catching up. They really understand how to integrate technology into environmental work. This young people, they are really ready to support the protection of ecosystem and nature by these technologies. So I believe they understand how to use it. I believe it's become more of a tool to them. And it helps to preserve biodiversity.
Nahla, one of the things that we talk about on this podcast regularly, and one of the points we make is that all education is environmental education. It's something that we learned at the World Environment Congress last year in Abu Dhabi. I wanted to ask you this. You're really positive about young people and, I guess, their engagement in environmental matters and their levels of environmental education. But what do you think we need to do to keep up the awareness on environmental education to push it forwards? Do we need more, I don't know, workshops in schools? Do we need more engagement using tech platforms? What do you think?
So maybe I kind of agree with you. Education is very important, vital. It's one of the important things in life. It's not only about empowering youth, empowering everything, actually. Without education, we couldn't move forward. So it's something very important for us to engage and to ensure that youth are aware of, just to become the future environmental leaders. And as you said, the ministry and the country and every entity in this country had did a lot of awareness campaigns and workshops. Honestly, Tim, yearly we do an assessment to ensure how much is the percentage of awareness has risen. We do that among the whole UAE just to ensure where is the gaps and to think about how to add more. So education can't stop. I believe just to stay in the same line, we have to keep going. And honestly, keep going means we still have to have more workshops. We still have to have more engagements. Learning is not something that you do in one day. It's something constant. So every day you will learn something new. And trust me, as much as you learn, there is another thing to learn. So it will never end. And I believe that learning really helps. So but honestly, today, just today, we signed, usually every year, with the Federal Youth Authority. We partner with them in the Emirates Youth Summer Academy. So today we signed with them for 20 workshops related to environment from different aspects. All our youth are engaging with this opportunity to learn, to teach the next generation, to teach the next youth. So I think learning could be the key of everything, or is the main key for now.
You mentioned earlier that a lot of young people are already taking the lead. You're already kind of seeing interest from young people to engage in these topics. So in order to further engage young people, if I can put it this way, how would you encourage them? Let's say the other young people, the other cohort that is not really taking sort of a leadership position in these areas, how can you encourage them to take leadership in the direction when it comes to environmental causes, for instance?
As a ministry, we try our best to engage everyone. So we're not only partnership with the youth authority, but we ensure that we have a place in everywhere, either academic field and in private sector. We ensure that we reach to all youth. So we have programs for them, not only summer, it's during the whole year. And we ensure that we always have something, either in country, by the way, even abroad. We have a lot of programs abroad. We ensure that we put our finger everywhere. So in any field, you will see a part of environment right now in the UAE. So we try our best to engage in every topic. We try our best to be there, starting from very young kids, from school. We worked with the Ministry of Education a couple of years ago to modify the curriculum, to add things that we think they should learn from very young age. And then we started with the university. We have a lot of programs with them. And going forward, from life's perspective, using technologies, using social media, using every empowerment that youth have to ensure that we reach to them. So I mean, I think, we're trying, but I think we're succeeding as well.
It's interesting that because you see so much and you hear so much and you read so much about initiatives from particular the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment. Now, what about when it comes to training the next generation to take a leadership direction? Encouraging people is one thing, but then there's that leap to making it a profession like you have. What about training people when it comes to environmental causes?
So for a training program, honestly, even myself as a person, I engaged in a lot of training programs. I try my best to deliver what I have for them. My training program doesn't include just a lecture. it's sometimes a game. We usually do biodiversity hunt or treasure games or something engaging with the people, because, you know, youth can be different ways of elaborating and getting the information. Some people can be listeners, some people are visual. So we try our best to build programs for them depending on their skills. So we do a lot of training programs. And honestly, and a couple of years ago, we started also online programs. So we ensure that we reach to the maximum. Some people can't engage with us, but we engage with them. So we have a, we worked with a lot of entities to develop online programs. They're still there. People use it. We can see how much people are engaging with it. And we try our best to reach to every home and every youth in the UAE.
Wow, that's far and very interesting, you know, introduction to environmental education and raising the awareness, I assume, is also your goal here when you train these younger folks. You know, to tell to another topic related to this, we have traditions here in the UAE that many of us are very proud of, and that are keen to maintain and encourage its practices. I'm talking about sustainable fishing practices, you know, thinking about the afflage systems, our respect for the desert environment and heritage, you know, the old pearl diving traditions, etc. It is important that restoration efforts, as you know, are culturally appropriate, holistic, and are rooted in deep understanding of local ecosystems. How much do young people in the UAE recognize the value of our passed down knowledge and traditional ecological practices, many of which align with sustainable land management and restoration? And to what extent are we actively seeing traditional conservation methods, such as fishing techniques, being blended with modern scientific know-how?
So when it comes to restoration, you have added a lot of examples. Mm-hmm. However, I will engage with one important thing that I learned myself. So I hope everyone does. It's the planting. So planting has a very special heart in UAE's heritage people and culture. And planting local trees, it's something not easy, by the way. It's something related to spirit. Something related to your heart. And I thought planting was easy. Honestly, I tried a couple of times and every plant I do died. I had to learn the proper way to do it. So learning things that helps to continue this land is very important. When it comes to planting, so I'll give you a small story that happened to me. So I learned what is planting, why it's important to plant, and what is our local tree that has been here for years and years and years. And I use this knowledge to transform it to something to the youth. So we developed an application called Ghiras. Ghiras in Arabic means plant. So we developed this application that helped to engage youth and younger youth to become a part of us. The purpose is to greening and planting the UAE, but at the same time to ensure there is an engagement. They learn how to do that. So we had a, in the application, we had a way of sharing the information about every local tree we have. Mm-hmm. And same time, it shows how to plant, where to get the seedlings. And when you plant, you can take a picture and put it in the application. Mm. So it's like engaging you and showing you that you are part of this conservation. And the very last, we added an algorithm that calculates how much carbon efficient is being reduced by the plant that you did. So you're not only doing this for fun, you're doing this to protect. So I think planting has a huge story. And there is one book I really recommend everyone to read it about planting in UAE. I forgot the name of the writer that I can share with you.
Sure, yeah.
And I think this will help a lot of people to understand that planting was something started since the beginning of the country.
What we'll do now, Hara, is we'll share the name of the author in the notes for the episode. But I think that's such an important point to make, because one thing I'd like to share is I've lived here for some years and lots of family come out, and I've had friends come out. And one of the things that, without exception, everybody has said is, so where's the desert? Because this place is so green, you know, and clearly the UAE has been so successful when it comes to planting. But I guess lots of us, we kind of take it for granted. We don't really, you almost don't see the green. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, Tim, because, you know, in the UAE, we have four type of ecosystem and 70% is desert. I agree with you. But we have other things as well. We have coastal and marine and we have mountain areas. So not necessarily the plant has to be huge and big and everywhere. So depends on these plants. So, for example, the Al-Ghaf, Al-Sidr, they live in this desert. They love the heat. You can't plant them everywhere and anywhere. So there is a way. But however, when it comes to the coastal, you can see a lot of mangroves and you can see a lot of salt marshes and other plants are there. So it depends on the ecosystem itself. However, our ecosystems are really, really amazing. And I think the planting and greening the UAE, it's, when I say greening, I don't mean it has to be green. The brown color is amazing, by the way.
No, it's a really good point because there's real diversity in the ecosystems here, much more than I think people outside looking in think. You know, it's just a really hot, arid place. There's a bit more to it, isn't there? Nahla, can I ask you, you've kind of mentioned this a little bit. You talked a little bit about how governments collaborate with the youth, but I wanted to talk about governments collaborating with businesses and making sure that the youth voice is included in decisions. Because there's clearly a real push, I think, nationally, to make sure that young people are involved, they're engaged, and they're listened to. Is that fair to say?
Yes, Tim. Actually, the ministry, we always work with entrepreneurs, and we ensure that we engage with them. To be very honest, 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, we hosted the first ever agriculture conference that was in Al Ain, and we had a whole section about entrepreneurs, local youth entrepreneurs that have businesses in agriculture field, whether it's a technology or it's a business, a selling and buying business. So we ensured that they are there. They have a voice. They need a place to ensure that they're recognized. So yes, we work with them all the time and we ensure that they are there, not only for agriculture and for all the fields of environment.
That's brilliant to see the interest from other parties as well, not only government and youth and so on, but other people are invested and, you know, entrepreneurs, they do magic sometimes. Just a couple more questions. You know, the UN Decade on Ecosystem Restoration that we mentioned earlier provides a global platform for young people to get involved in the largest ever effort to restore ecosystems, right? And the reason why it's the largest ever, because it's international. It's a global effort involving many countries around the world. My question, and it's a huge question, how do you think we can best highlight the importance of maintaining these vital ecosystems for ecological, economic, and cultural sustainability? What is it we need to do? Is it direct action? Is it awareness? Is it teaching in schools? What more needs to be done?
As I mentioned, Abdurrahman, earlier, honestly, everything we're doing is having an impact already. It's just we need to keep it constant. We need to ensure that we're still on top of it. So, for an example, if you love something, you will take care of it until it grows and grows and grows. So youth are already there and the topic is there and the environment is there. And we're trying our best as a government to give them everything and facilitate everything for them to do and to be. So to ensure they have still the thriving to protect this environment is our role. We need to keep it constant. We need to keep it alive. And I think it will stay that way.
We've got one last question to ask you, Nahla, and this is the question that we're asking everybody this season on Naturally Educated, and it's really your personal thoughts, straight off the top of your head, if you like. It's the importance, what you think the importance of the steps the UAE is taking to ensure ecosystem restoration efforts and to provide a healthy environment for future generations. It's everything we've talked about in this podcast. But if I was to put you on the spot and say, please give me your perspective on what's happening, what would you say?
Honestly, Tim, I think protecting the environment or restoration of ecosystem, it's not a priority. It's something necessary. Mm-hmm. Without the environment, without the species, the habitat, we don't have a place. From a person who has a background, I think it's really important. But at the same time, I can say the government is aware. The country mm-hmm. is aware. The people are aware. Everyone has a part in this huge story. I think keeping things alive for the next generation is something important. And to get through this, we have to work together. We have a saying in Arabic says, one hand will not clap alone. So mm-hmm. we need each other. We need to clap together. We need to reach. We need to ensure that there is a confident way to lead to restoration effort.
That's well put. Nahla Noubi is the head of the Youth Council at the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment. She's also the head of the Terrestrial Biodiversity Section. Nahla, thank you for talking to us here on Naturally Educated.
Thank you, Abdurrahman, and thank you, Tim, so much for hosting me.
Thank you, Nahla.
As we look ahead to the IUCN World Conservation Congress in Abu Dhabi in October, here on Naturally Educated, this time it was the Next Generation Ecosystem Restoration, Youth Taking Action, the Future. Our guest, Nahla Noubi, the head of the Youth Council at the Ministry of Climate Change and Environment.
And in her day job, she's the head of the Terrestrial Biodiversity Section as well.
And thanks again to Nahla for talking to us.
Do you know, even though she said it wasn't, you know, her original path, she wanted to get into kind of politics, diplomacy and that kind of thing, she's kind of living the dream, really, because she's found, and I think she said this as well, she's found her passion, Abdurrahman. Hmm. And I think that's really nice for this episode, because it means, again, on Naturally Educated, this season, season 5, we get to hear from someone who is kind of doing what they're meant to be doing. They've kind of found their way.
You know, you're right, Tim. And it's always interesting to hear from people who seem to have found their purpose.
I'd just love to be like that. I'd love to know what I want to do when I grow up.
Hopefully one day. Honestly, though, to have that conviction and that belief and knowledge, it's a good thing.
It is. Do you know what stood out for me, again, is that it's not difficult to do something. That's kind of what Nahla said. We were saying to her, you know, what's happened here? Where do you think it needs to be better? And her thing throughout was kind of like, look, things are going well. We listen to young people. They're doing things. The ministry's doing things. We've got initiatives here. And she gave loads of really good examples. And I think it was clear that it takes effort, you know, and the will to keep making the effort. And that's what she was trying to say. Even if it's just making sure, you know, you wash out the juice bottle before you recycle it. It kind of starts with those little things, doesn't it?
I agree. It honestly does start where, you know, it's where it begins as a process, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, specifically what struck me, is the engagement initiatives.
Right.
Getting young people engaged in environmental education. So it's not only sit them in a classroom and, you know, open some slides and go through the slides. Mm. She mentioned how it's interactive. It's about putting the young people, and I assume also older folks, through an engaging game, you know?
Yeah.
Play a specific game, and by the end of it, you'll not only have had fun, but also learn something.
Yeah, absolutely right. It's like gamifying it, isn't it? That was a buzz phrase 10 years ago, gamification of everything. But actually, it means you can hit a certain demographic of people who learn that way. Some people learn by reading and memorizing. Some people learn by viewing. Some people learn, or, you know, there are lots of different ways to do it. And I think Nahla was very aware of that and recognized that.
You know, also from her perspective, right, she comes from the ministry. She's the head of a specific section, and they work with policy. And so from her perspective, how can she move sort of the lever, you know, and you know, push through some policies that can assist in people getting more engaged and young folks being enabled, having a voice or having a seat on the table where decisions are made, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as she, you know, she mentioned before we even started recording, what she's really working on now, she's backwards and forwards between Dubai and Abu Dhabi. She's based in Dubai, but she's working on the IUCN World Conservation Congress as well with EAD. And that's, you know, another kind of, you know, it's another way that she's learning, another way that things are moving forward.
Okay, Tim, that's our episode, Next Generation Ecosystem Restoration, Youth Taking Action. I am Abdulrahman Al-Zaabi, and I like to think that I am still part of the youth we're talking about.
And I'm Tim Elliott, and I might not be, but however old we are, doing our best for the ecosystem around us is for us all. Join us again soon for more in Season 5 of the Environment Agency Abu Dhabi's podcast, Naturally Educated.